Amen. All right. Let's get right into the word this morning. I'm Josh. I'm the pastor of the church, and along with my wife, we're so blessed that you guys are here today. You know, we've changed it up a little bit with our timing. We're here at 10 a.m. I kind of like it right now. I like the house being filled and full and getting to see everyone's beautiful faces. So this will continue for a little while here, but it's a good thing. It's a good thing. If you were here with us last week, we started a series. We call it the Re-Series. So we were talking about all sorts of different things last week, but one in particular that was the main theme was the Bible, that we need to reclaim the Bible. Many of us, we have been told by this world that, the Bible, it's got its pitfalls, they say, or it's got some old dated language in it. Well, I declare and decree that it is not old, nor is it dated. It is relevant and it is for today. We need to reclaim the Word of God, exactly what the Word of God says, apply it in our lives, walk in it. And so you know what? I'm pretty sure the Word of God tells us that we won't depart from it. And if we're trained up in it and we know it, man, it's good. It's fruitful. It has nourishment to our bones. You know, we hear in Proverbs, Solomon says over and over again that, hey, it's like bread. It's good. It's life. It's the nourishment that we need. I think it's important that we reclaim the Bible as solid. You know, it is an inspired word of God. It is for spirit beings, written supernaturally and from a spirit being. And so therefore we need to acknowledge that from Genesis to Revelation that this was put in place for us. There's nothing in it that should be declared unworthy. And there's nothing out of it that we should think, man, I wish that they would have put this out. You know, one of those guys would have written this down. You know, for us, Jesus tells us that it's spiritual eyes to see and spiritual ears to hear. It's for us to go to God asking him before opening this to say, God, reveal to me your word. It is a living word. So when you open it up, it has revelation to it that continues to pour out. So today, I hope I continue to do this, that bring it to you in a way that is new and very revealing to you in your own circumstance. The other thing about what I said last week is I want our church to move past some of these things. You know, meaning exactly what Paul said. Paul said that, hey, I want us to move past some of these childish things and to get into some of the meat of it all. Out of the milk, into the meat. I'm someone who loves the meat, but I also understand where some of us in this room might be, and that is not a in any way, shape, or form, is this something to be taken negative? Some of us are on different paths as far as where we are, but many of us need to recognize, hey, I need to wake up. I need to mature. It's time. It's time for me to dig a little deeper, act a little more Christian, and be not just act, but be a little more Christian. We need to realize, hey, you know what? God's called us something to do something magnificent. So it's time for us to wake up to that. So I want to go a little deeper today. So if you were here last week and you came back today, then I'm going to take it as if you believe this Bible is true from front to back and you're willing to live it out. If you are new today, well, you're stuck believing it right now. So stick with it. So I want to get in a little deeper here. You know, we're using the word restored today. Restoration is something that's beautiful. Beautiful. Restoration is beautiful. It's a return. The definition for restore is return someone or something to a former condition, place, or position. A restoring. I mean, I love the word restore. It's beautiful. You can see something that you thought was trash and garbage, worthless, useless, to something of value. And it's a beautiful process to walk through. Today, I want to preface by saying that Haggai is our book today. Now, it is up to you this week to study out Haggai chapter 1, chapter 2. It's a small, minor prophet, but I tell you what, it's pretty awesome. You know, his name is short, Hag. It means festival. They believe that he was born on a festival of sorts. You know, I believe that when you grab a hold of the book of Haggai, it becomes a festival. And when you read it, you go, ooh, this is good. There's an enlightening to this, a freedom to this word that he speaks to God's people. It's really, really good. But this is a time in around the 580, and he gives a revelation in this particular book in 520 BC, but 580 or so, you'll see that there's this restoration process taking place. that the people are let go. God's people are finally let go out of slavery and free to go back into Jerusalem and begin to rebuild. And this rebuilding process is beautiful. Now, Haggai in chapter 2, he gives this prophecy, talks about, because there's a little bit of a downcast spirit upon these individuals. They started reflecting upon Solomon and that temple that was built, and that's no longer there. And so why build a lesser, cooler-looking temple? And so Haggai begins to prophesy out of the book of Isaiah and out of Micah, and he begins to prophesy that, hey, you know what, there's going to be a greater, bigger, better, wonderful temple, a better process. This is going to be something beautiful. And he begins to inspire the people with God's own word, and then they begin to rebuild the temple. One of the things that was out of position was, well, they really cared more about their own homes, rebuilding those things, and then to get to the temple. Well, they were out of order. So we're going to talk about that this morning. So, you know, today the members of Christ's body are that spiritual temple. That's what Haggai was prophesying about, that many of us, if you know the Word of God, you would are familiar with the fact that Jesus did something new. He did something new. You know, Isaiah actually prophesies about this, that God's going to do something new. Well, that new thing is us. And what's wonderful about it is we have a restoration power in the midst of many of us in this room, but you have to choose it. You have to choose that restoration power. You know, knowing that the Christ body is the spiritual temple, the Lord wants to dwell there. He has redemptive plans. He has purposes. We mentioned last week that in His Word that everything is intentional. God has a plan, a purpose. Nothing is out of sorts. It is perfect. Therefore, it also reigns with you. It's important that you know this. We are reminded by Paul that we are that our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in us. So 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 says, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." Honor God with your bodies. You know, Haggai points out, as I just mentioned, he points out to these individuals, man, that, hey, you guys, you got it all backwards. You're messing this up. You guys, and look, your crops aren't even like, they're not manifesting. Your crops, they're just dying. Why? Because you don't put God first. You got to put God first. Everything you do, you got to put God first. You know, when you accept Jesus and his teachings, you are accepting the revelation. The revelation that you've been restored. And you begin to act. You begin to act upon the Word of God. And that's where the works in the faith. You know, when you have faith, oh man, God begins to just start birthing something inside of you. And out comes a new thing. And you have vision. You have a purpose, an intention. Man, it's so wonderful. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life has gone, a new life has begun. It's important. I'm going to ask my son Colton, and I'm going to ask Ethan to come up here. I have not prepped them in any way, shape, or form. I've just told them I'm going to call them up onto the stage. My son Colton's a little shy, so give him give him a little handicap. Give him a little, see? It's not too bad. All right. So you see the size difference here. There's a little bit. Yeah, just stand right there. There you go. A little bit of a difference. So I have this 50-pound weight. I was just grunted just to give you the experience of how heavy it is. I'm really okay with it. Okay. I'm going to set that right there. Okay. Colton, I'd like for you to pick that 50-pound weight up with one arm. Oh, man. Okay, you can put it back down. Put it back down. You heard that. That was beastly, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, I want you to do it one more time, but this time I want you to raise it up like this, as high as you can. Okay, go. Let's see it.
Go. Come on, Cole.
Yeah, you go like that. Okay, all right. Do you need to use two hands?
Yeah.
Okay, use two hands. Try to use two hands. Okay. Nice. That was easier, right? Okay, now while taking this with two hands, I would like for you to read something. Can you do that for me? No?
Why not? Here, let's just set it right there.
No.
Okay, now read something and lift it up. Go ahead. Go. Do it. Do it. Read. I want you to read. Can you do it?
No.
No, you cannot do it. Okay, put it down. All right, thank you. Okay, you just stand right here to the side. I'm not done with you yet. Come right here. Come over here. All right, Ethan, one hand. Let's see you lift this beast up like a man. Okay, let's see you do a curl with it. Can you curl? Oh! All right. Now, don't you put it down. You can hold it.
You had to put it down.
No, I know, but you're big. You can hold it. All right. Now, I want you to continue to keep doing this right here. Now, I want you to read, too, while you're doing it. Can you do that? Okay, what are you doing? Hold on. Keep going. Keep curling. I want you to curl. Okay, you got this? You got... Would it be helpful if I helped a little bit?
Yeah.
Okay, totally. Yeah, okay. Let me help.
Hey. It is certainly implied.
Hold on. I got a phone call. Hold on.
Hello?
Oh, it's for you. Okay, so I want you to keep lifting, keep talking, keep going. Hey, come on. Did you see him stop while I answered the phone? Like, he didn't even keep going. Wow. What would be easier right now?
Put everything down.
Right. Yeah. All right. Guys, give it up for Ethan and Colton. Go ahead. In Exodus chapter 33, there's this wonderful story. I love it. I go back to it a lot. It's this moment in verse 14 that Moses has this great conversation with God. He says, Lord, he's my presence. I mean, he wants God's presence, right? So the Lord replies, says, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And then the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. Then Moses said, this is very important, he says, now show me your glory. What a bold statement. He wanted to see the glory of God. He wanted to see the face of God. Now, obviously, if you're familiar with the story, he goes on to proceed. God says, well, I can't show you my face, but I will show you my backside. I'll show you my backside. But he says, show me your glory. You guys, if you look up the word glory in Hebrew, it's kabod. Now, you know what that means? It means weight and heaviness. He literally asked God, he said, God, I want to see your weight. I want to see everything about you. I want to see this weight. I want to know the heaviness. I want to know the value of who you are. I want to see this moment. It's so important. Because when we go to God the same way Moses says, God, I want to see your glory. But you know, too often, how do we go to God? We go to God with distractions. We go to God with all these other little things in our lives, these books, these phones, these different items. And even Paul, man, Paul gives this, man, this beautiful picture of like, man, I'm glad I'm single. That's what he says. How many people are glad they're single? No one in this room is glad they're single. It's like rare. It's this rare moment. Some of you in this room, you're like, I just wish I had someone. Paul's like, I'm so glad I don't. Man, that's a really hard, hard word to hear. But Paul says, I don't want that extra weight. I don't want to think about anything but God. I just want to be in his presence, in his glory. You know what I loved about Colton? I say to him, hey, read this book. No. Hey, Colton, here, do this. I can't. But Colton, come on, man. He says, no. What you said, right? Now, I'm giving a little, he's shy. No. But no, he says, I can't do that. But I mean, what if I place it right here? No, he just kept telling me no, like stop, right? Like don't do that. This is making it hard enough, Dad, like stop.
In Mark chapter 10, it says, verse 13, one day some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could touch and bless them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. When Jesus saw what was happening, he was angry with his disciples. He said to them, "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." Then he took the children in his arms and placed his hands on their heads and blessed them. You know, children are wise. My son, he received, he did a word today, a scriptural verse that many of us might not be too familiar with. He's not even familiar with it, but he had the wisdom. This is that God-given wisdom. It's Ecclesiastes 9:16, that wisdom is better than strength. So even though he had this weight in his hands, even though he recognized, boy, it's heavy, he had a knowledge of saying, no, but I know what I can't do. The wisdom. Sometimes us adults, we have the strength. I don't have Ethan's strength, that's for sure. Oh my gosh. This is my left hand, though. It's my left hand. But we lack wisdom. Us men will sit there, we'll keep going, but we need wisdom to know, I can't do this. Ethan, yeah, I'll read the book. Look at him. Yeah, I'll take the phone call. I know it's easier, but he wasn't choosing wisdom. He was choosing strength. Wisdom is more important than strength. It's wisdom. You guys, for some odd reason, wisdom is right before us. There is so much wisdom in this book. There is so much knowledge. Haggai gives us this warning. If you guys, you're putting yourself before God. You're putting all these other things before him. Yet, if you would just put him first, make him the most important thing, then everything else will take care of itself. It's essential. Matthew chapter 6, it's a complete shadow of Matthew 6. But for some reason, we look at this and we go, it's okay. Put it off the side and we don't give it the value and the understanding that comes with it. Many of us come up and grow up in different denominations in this building. Maybe you grew up Baptist, maybe you grew up Presbyterian, some Catholic in this room, some, who knows, the list goes on. We at Trailhead Church, we did a non-denominational thing. We said, hey, let's go non-denominational. We just wanted to make you keep guessing where we were. I love non-denominational churches. A lot of times non-denominational churches are really just our spur off of a traditional church so they can have wilder music. But then you come into church and you see Katie take a lap and you go, hold on, this might be something different about this church. So let me explain our church. We're a non-denominational church that believes in the Bible from front to back, meaning that we listen to what God's word has to say and we study it out. We are what we call good Bereans. Some of us would label us a Pentecostal type of church just because of the fact that we lean towards a charismatic side of expression. It's a charismatic side of expression. So for us, you know, we're willing to allow the Holy Spirit to move and flow through us. Now, some people in this room get really discomfort. Some right now just got all uncomfortable. But just hear me out. Let's hear what the Word says. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4, Paul gives this great picture of, well, hey, you know what? The Holy Spirit, I mean, there's gifts. I mean, there's good things about the Holy Spirit. I mean, they're real, they're evident. I love that some denominations will say, hey, you need to stop after, like, you know, the idea of any type of Holy Spirit stuff after Acts, the book of Acts. Because, you know, those are just Acts. It's not, those aren't doctrinal statements. You can't form doctrine out of Acts. Well, I disagree. But you see that Paul gets converted after the upper room, from Saul to Paul, and then you see Paul go on to plant tons of churches and disciple tons of people, and he talks about all of the stuff that he's doing, and in Acts chapter 19, there's even a moment where Paul goes, hey, he finds out these people in Ephesus are all about Jesus Christ. And so he asked the question, he goes, well, hey, what's going on in Ephesus? And they said, well, they're all about, you know, the things of God and what's happening. And so he goes, have they been baptized? And he uses these words, have they been baptized in the Holy Spirit? He says, no. They said, no, they've only been baptized by John. Okay. Let me give you guys an illustration that's probably best fitted for this. What happened was, it's like a crumbling rock pile. John comes in and says, hey, let's take that crumbling rock pile and let's prepare it. Let's prepare this crumbling rock pile. Let's build a fireplace, a chimney of sorts. He says, hey, let's build this fireplace. Now, that's really all his calling was. He was to prepare the way. Prepare the way. That's all he was made for. In John chapter 14, 15 through 17, verses 15 through 17, it says, if you love me, keep my commands. This is Jesus. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. In you is important. This is very, very, very important. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 5 says, once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but just in a few days, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So, Paul, later on, outside of the upper room, and this was many years later, he hears about the Ephesus church, and he goes, whoa, what's going on? He goes, well, hey, let's send some people down there. So he sends some wonderful individuals down there to minister to them about what Jesus did. And then guess what happened? They got baptized in the Holy Spirit. So what took place was, you see, John builds the fireplace, all right? John builds the fireplace. Then Jesus begins to prepare the individuals for the fire. Listen, we're going to take all sorts of crazy items and we're going to throw it in this fire, all right? Those things that really don't matter too much. The sticks, the little stuff, because we want to refine you. Jesus is like, we want to find the precious metals out of you, the gold, the silver, the good stuff. So he starts gathering all the kindling. He brings all the good stuff in. He's bringing the people together. And now he says, but hey, I'm going to send. You know, I'm going to go to my Father and he's going to send the advocate. He's going to send the Holy Spirit. And you know how he manifests himself? It was like fire on their heads. Fire. Right? The fire entered into the temple. Do you guys remember in Solomon? I read this a few weeks ago. Not in Solomon, but in Chronicles. Solomon begins to dedicate the temple with like 1,000 different sacrifices. This huge thing. It was a beautiful, I just can't fathom what it looked like that day. But when in bringing that first sacrifice, like fire fell down. Whoosh. What happened to these individuals in the upper room, they were the sacrifice that they said, my bodies, who we are. God, we're coming to you. We're presenting ourselves to you. Lord, make us into what you have us to be. Like, what is that? They put themselves in the fireplace. Well, here comes the Holy Spirit, right? Fire. Well, and then the Holy Spirit begins to work in them and showing them things. Whereas there's fire, there's smoke, right? So here, there's some smoke going on. The smoke, it's a metaphor or an example of speaking in tongues. Now, some people in this room, you just shut me off. Oh, there he is. He said tongues. Well, that's weird. Is it? Because it's in the Bible, and they talk about it a lot. Now comes this doctrine. Some of you are in this room like, now, I want to know. Are you a gift in tongues person? Are you a personal language gift in tongues person? Or are you both? And then I go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4. But Paul acknowledges these things by saying that there is a personal language because those things edify you personally. Now, there's also a gift in tongues, and that gift in tongues is for you, for this group of individuals to hear a tongue and interpretation. Now, Paul is not just, he's not discrediting tongues or interpretations or personal language of speaking in tongues, that wonderful, beautiful gift that God has given us. He's not discrediting in that by saying, hey, it's more beneficial to have prophecy. Well, the reason why is because if there's a stranger in this room right now and God says to me or someone else that has been given this role in our church, but if they have a word for that stranger who walks in who doesn't know who Jesus is, and that word is dead on, you go, holy moly, how do they know this? There's a lot more benefit to this. Paul's saying, hey, this is good. I mean, that's good. He was by no means saying that tongues was bad. He was just saying what is really awesome to happen is when a word of God comes. And when you hear a word of God, oh man, it shakes you a little bit, right? Some of you need to be shooken. I want you to have a revelation here. I want you to have that grown-up, mature conversation. Some of you may say, oh, I can't wait till after church. I'm going to debate that, Pastor. You ain't going to do nothing because I ain't going to talk to you. Because I've already talked to most of you. I mean, I've had those awkward dinner nights where I think I'm getting a dinner at your house, and then you want to debate me and beat me up. I'll never go to any of your houses. You come to my house. Man. John the Baptist's ministry was the one of preparation. It's a preparation. It's a preparation for people to see. Jesus said it. People aren't going to be able to see this. There are people who just want to close that whole idea off. That ain't right. That's nothing. Yet it's in the Word of God. Some of them just will not receive it. They will not. So that's the reason why Paul says this. Some will speak in tongues and some won't. Doesn't mean that you can't. Some won't. Because some of you will drive Teslas and some of you won't. Some of you will drive a Honda, but some of you won't. It's just going to be that way. You make a choice. That's why. You make a choice. We have decisions to be made. Hey, guys, said it. Guys, you got some decisions you need to make. You're putting things before God. You're putting all of this before God. You've made a stance of, I'm not going to do this. You're putting stipulations before God. And God's saying, hey, I want to do a new thing. Oh, I want to do a new thing. Oh, man, that's beautiful. Oh, I want to read Matthew 3:11. I baptize with water those who repent of their sins and turn to God, but someone is coming soon who is greater than I am. So much greater that I'm not worthy even to be his slave and carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. It's burning up those things that are nonsense. You don't even realize some of the nonsense. You're sitting there all, you know, got your head all cocked. You look silly. You're trying to do all these things and you're trying to juggle the glory of God. And you can't even do it. You can't even do it. You're sitting there trying your best, but you're struggling and you look funny. The world tells us that, well, we don't look funny. That doesn't look funny. You can go to church on Sunday and then do whatever you want the rest of the week. You guys look silly. You guys look so silly. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body. So it was with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. There is one Spirit. Jesus has given us this complete, and it's an easy read. It's not you have to decipher it. I'm going to send a comforter. One Spirit, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come in you. It forms and it molds us so that we are unified, so that we can work together. That it assures us of those moments where it goes, whoa, that looks crazy out there, but you know what? It's okay, because I know where God is, because I stand with Him. I have got some things in my life, and God's working on those things. God's going to start, He's going to start moving it and fixing it. He's saying, and the Holy Spirit is telling us. We need to hear from the Holy Spirit on how to correct some things we've been doing. Course correction, man, we need it. We've got some things in our life that need to be cast out. You need to know the power that lives inside of you so you can cast it out. You have every ability and right to cast those things out. Man, you guys remember that demon? This guy was trying to cast out this demon, right? And so he was all messed up. He was basically just mimicking what Paul and them were doing. Man, he was trying his best, bless his heart. The problem was he didn't have an identification of the Holy Spirit dwelling and living inside of him. So that demon speaks out and says, oh, yeah, I know who Jesus is. I know who Paul is. I don't know you. This is the power moment, that identification that we are in the image of God. And so therefore we can operate from that image of knowing, hey, God's given us a voice. That we can speak to those things, speak to those mountains. We can speak to things that aren't supposed to be. We can say, no, I'm not going to deal with that. Nope, I'm going to stand on God's word and His promises, because He says a lot of good things, and He does what He says He'll do. We stand on this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, but whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. This is the freedom that I'm talking about, people. That when you have the Holy Spirit living and dwelling inside of you, you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, then guess what? You can operate in freedom. That when the enemy tries to bind you up with something, you can say to that enemy, no, you don't have control over this. We know that this war that we fight against is not flesh and blood, but it's spiritual warfare. Read the Bible. Don't just be like, oh, I kind of know that scripture. Know the scripture. You need to know this is wisdom. This is wisdom. This is God's glory that He talks about. Glory to glory to glory. Here we go. I'm going to keep reading. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord, there is freedom. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. God's going to give us the strength that we need to continue glory to glory to glory. That we don't have to sit here and doubt. Supernaturally, we have the strength to overcome and do what we need to do. That we're not going to sit here and start crying about things. God's given us the weight, the wisdom, the glory, the power, everything that we possibly need to overcome sickness and disease. A mean boss, a mean coworker, an unsaved family member. You guys, a spouse that you want to see come to a revelation of who they are in Jesus Christ. God gives you the strength, and He brings you from glory to glory to glory. You don't need to sit here and have this doubt and unbelief any longer. You're a child of God. A restored Christian, a restored individual, They don't stand on an excuse. They don't stand on the problem. They know the answer. They have the solution. Because why? Because they've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit lives and dwells inside of them. There's a fire. And where there's fire, there's smoke. You're going to see action to your faith. The Holy Spirit's going to come in and intercede on your behalf. You're going to know that you are marked. Man, I know who I am in Christ Jesus. That Holy Spirit lives and dwells inside of me. Everyone stand to your feet. Band, come on up. I want to say this one more time. A restored mind will not find an excuse. It will find an answer. You're going to know the wisdom of God, that it's not by your strength. It's not by your might. It's by His and His alone. That Holy Spirit begins to bring power into your life. That you don't walk around in doubt and unbelief. You don't sit here in this dismayed and array of feelings and emotional allergies. I don't know what I should do in this world. You go everywhere. You're like a child with a megaphone. Oh my gosh, nothing worse. Man, I've been in those rooms where there's megaphones. And I've been to youth camp starts this week. There's nothing worse than when a leader lays a megaphone down on a table and walks away. Oh, it's the worst. Immediately, you hear the siren first. And then you find that child with it. And he sees you. And then he's like, "You're not getting it." And then they just start blabbing and saying all things. And it's so annoying. They're speaking useless words. They don't even have direction. There's a purpose for the megaphone. It's to tell people, "Hey, I got you where you need to go. Hey, you need to, everyone come here." And they're just blabbing out things. "Jeff, I got you, baby. Woo! Dan, you're awesome. Woo! Hurry up, they're coming to get me. Steven, woo! Woo!" And you're like, "Somebody tackle that person. They're getting me." Man, it's so awful. You guys, you're not taking the advantage of the megaphone you've been given. That voice to speak God's word. To come in and be the head of your household, fathers in this room. To step up and to hear what God has for you. For your family, that lead, that direction. Stand up and be the man that God's called you to be. Women, continue. Boy, nothing better than when Paul calls out Timothy. "Man, I love your grandma and your mom." Woo! Paul says, "Man, those are some amazing, spirit-filled ladies. Fan that flame," he says. "Fan that flame. Fan that flame." What's that mean? That means put down the books. Put down all the distractions. Begin to just sit in His glory. That weight. Oh, I want to know the heaviness. I want to know the presence of God's in this place. I want to lay down and someone put the presence of God on top of me. Oh, man, to sit there with that understanding and that heaviness. Haggai warned us. I mean, this is a prophecy 500 BC. Back then, it still applies to this day. You've got to put the glory of God first. You need to sit in His presence. You need to want and desire the things of God. Spirit-filled. Man, I want to do the giftings of God. God, what do you have for us? Am I an interpreter? Am I a prophet? What are those things, God? Show me. Reveal to me. Desire those things. You're like, "No, I desire other things. Clothing, friendships, the worship." A friend of mine in Ohio, he's a pastor of a wonderful, beautiful church. And someone Google rated their church this past week. And I love Google ratings. I have a friend who works for Google. And I asked him, I said, hey, we got a Google rating. Can you delete that for me? He says, no. He says, I don't have that kind of power. He goes, but someone rated your church. I said, yeah. He's like, how many stars did you get? And I was like, I think it was 3. He's like, wow. People are rating churches. 3 or 5. So they rated my friend's church. This is what they said. They said, I give it a 2.8. This is what they I give it a 2.8. You could have used better examples in your sermon. You've used similar ones I've heard before. Wow. We're in the business of rating a person. Was the music good? Oh, Stephen wasn't up there leading worship. I love when he does this. Some of you in this room, you're like putting church on a rating basis. Let me rate you guys. Your giving's like a 2. Well, that hurt. I went right deep on all of you. I don't know your giving. I don't keep track of it. Dave does. Dave rates it a 1. That's what he told me, but I'm kidding. I'm only kidding. Seriously, where have we come to that we're rating the temple of God, the body of believers, as this these people? You're rating yourself. It's time to wake up. We're rating people because we don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit inside of us. Because we're looking at people's faults. We're looking at all the chaff, all the different little things that don't matter, the stuff that needs to get burned up. Sure, we all got things that needs to get burned up. That's the beautiful part about the refining fire of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a living being. The Holy Spirit is refining us consistently from glory to glory. So I've got problems. You all got problems. That's why we're here today. We're here to find the answers and then begin to walk in those answers. You heard your pastor this morning. You heard me say, put away the books. Put away the phones. Put away these things and just focus on the glory. Be like a child. I can't do that. I can only do this. Can't do that. Only this. Begin to say no. It is up to you. You have a choice. Do you want your house to be blessed or cursed? Haggai says it. He gives this example. He says to the two priests at the time, he says to them, if I'm touching an unclean thing, and then I touch food I'm about to eat, is the food I'm about to eat cursed? And they said, yes. He says, so then why are we touching the things that are unclean, but yet still trying to build the temple over here? Like, we're not just doing the temple. We're touching all these unclean things. We're trying to do two different things here. Some of you, we're stuck in this rut. We're just juggling. And when you feel some type of like discrepancy or some type of deficiency over here in the spiritual realm of things, then you're like, well, I better spike that up a little bit. And you spike it up, usually around Easter. And then summer, you're like, well, we gotta wake up. We're touching unclean things and then trying to build the temple. This is the temple. You're the house for the Holy Spirit. I'm going to venture to say that probably 80% of you in this room need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Some of you are going to be real uncomfortable with this. Years ago, I went to Florida with Reverend Reinhard Bonnke, and I went to a home for troubled teens. And there's about 70 boys in there. And so Reinhard Bonnke, he began to preach them about Jesus, preach on salvation.
And then he asked him, who wants to get saved? About 65 of these kids raised their hand. So he prayed, let's receive Jesus Christ, our Lord and personal Savior. So let's do that right now. If you don't have Jesus Christ in your life right now, I want you to be honest with me, honest with God. I want you to pray this prayer. We're going to do it collectively here this morning. So let's pray this prayer. Let's bow our heads. God, we thank you, Lord, for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross so that we could be saved. Lord, open our eyes to see the heaviness and the importance of what took place. Lord, that we can be saved from this world and saved from these things. We're not subject to this world. Lord, you tell us in your own prayer, or the Lord's prayer, Lord, that heaven here on earth, God, that we operate from a kingship that's not of this world. So, God, we begin to walk in that. So, Lord, we thank you. Lord, I thank you that today, and anyone in this room that's never done this, I want you to receive Jesus right now. That today, Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and personal Savior. I declare it in Jesus' name. It is finished. God, I thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that you're making me new. Lord, white as snow, a prepared chimney for the fire that's about to come. Lord, I thank you for this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.